Welcome to Come and See, your podcast for finding truth in a world of chaos. Brought to you by Living Waters Abide Ministries. With host and founder, Richard Case, and co-host and retreat leader, Kathy Riccone. Jesus reminds us to watch for the signs of his return. Today, we will explore further what we are seeing in our times that line up with what signs he said would indicate the potential of the end and his return. We will also discuss the practical meaning of this as we watch and as a remnant prepare as he so leads. And now your host, Richard Case.
Well, welcome everybody. This is End Times Friday, and we are in the second week of October, which will be, I believe, the 11th that this is airing. One thing we try to do, Kathy, as you know, about End Times, we tape as many as we can ahead because you and I got to have vacations and holidays and things where we don't tape. So we tape a lot of sessions ahead, but End Times, we try to keep pretty close to when the airing date is because things are happening
so much going on in the world
so dramatically. And so we've had, Eric and Denny and Pastor on. It's been very exciting to hear from them what's going on. And by the way, we're going to have them back on. We've been working on a date. This is funny, everybody. You'll appreciate this. So we generally, Kathy and I tape Thursdays. So we've been working on what Thursday can they all join us again? And so we get an email that says, hey, by the way, do you know in October, there's a series of holy days, holy feast, Rosh Hashanah is starting today, for example. And they said, because it generally starts the night before the Sabbath, Thursdays isn't a great day to tape. Could we do, something else, in between? So we emailed back and said, hey, how about Tuesday? We'll do this certain Tuesday. Generally, they're pretty quick to respond. We don't get a response for many hours. And then I get this email. I said, sorry for the delayed response. We just got out of the bomb shelter.
Right.
Yeah, sure. We can do it on Tuesday. It was like, just kind of matter of fact.
That
you know?
Date should work.
Yeah, that date will work, And they didn't say anything about the bomb shelter. Just, we just got out of the bomb shelter. Mm-hmm. And so we want to talk today in our sessions. We've been talking about the biblical truth that God says, I'm going to give you the finest army in the world. And it's coming from Isaiah, coming from Ezekiel. And when you're restored, I'm going to give you the finest army. And when you think about that, receiving the finest army is not a quick proposition, particularly for a small country that is less than 10 million and the size of Delaware. You wouldn't imagine that any country with that few people and that small land would ever be considered a premier army, partly because of economics and then the training and the technology required. Israel's been given the finest army in the world. It actually at the moment exceeds America, which had been the finest army in the world. We're actually becoming less so, by the way, which is biblically prophesied as well, is that we don't really play a big part in the final scenario of the tribulation and Christ's return. America is not a big player in that. It's all in the Middle East. Well, so we've talked about that. And what we've seen in the last 3 weeks
this to clarify October 3rd. So we're close to when it's airing on October 11th, but by the time this airs, more will have occurred still.
Yeah, we'll do a little bit of what we think is going to happen here because of it. But we know October 7th happened a year ago. By the way, the anniversary is coming up in a few days from our taping. And they've gone in and attacked Hamas and basically made them of no consequence at the moment. Hamas, and remember, just to set up the geography, is Hamas is in Gaza, southern they have been aligned with Iran as what we call a proxy. A proxy is somebody that represents somebody that has deeper pockets. Iran's been funding them. with weapons and training and technology and the ability to build those tunnels. And they've served to be launching missiles consistently against Israel for years. And because of what they did October 7th, Israel said, okay, that's enough. And they've gone in now and basically taking them at the moment where they can't really launch missiles. They don't have missiles to launch and they don't have places to launch them from. And they really don't have leadership anymore. Well, while that was going on, Hezbollah, and I don't know if you all remember this, but if you go back several Fridays, we actually, and Denny brought this up, they attacked northern Israel. Mm-hmm. Hezbollah is on the northern border of Israel in southern Lebanon, and they attacked by basically setting on fire all of the entire northern border of Israel.
And they had been doing that daily for months.
For months.
Right?
And as a result of it, while they were working on Hamas, what they did is they just evacuated. And Eric told us about 100,000 people because of tourism, the lack of tourism, the hotels were kind of empty. So they, Israel government paid for the hotels to house these 100,000 evacuees, but they want to get them. They want to come back to their life.
Right.
Well, Hezbollah increased their attack where they not only set it on fire, but now they started hitting missiles, and they've got a lot of missiles funded by Iran, another proxy for Iran to attack Israel. And they did. And so Israel said, well, we want to get our people back and we're going to stop this nonsense of being attacked. We're not trying to attack them, but we're going to defend who we are. So we are now going to attack them. And they did this clever situation with walkie-talkies and pagers where they didn't want them listening to phone calls. They bought new pagers and they somehow found out and loaded them up with explosives. And Hezbollah gave it to all their leaders. And because of what they did, and they had a code, they basically wind up having people either hospitalized or killed. And now they've gone in and they did a lot of missiles against their missile sites. And right now, as we speak, they're going in on ground war. And again, what they did in Gaza is they are destroying those tunnels. The Hezbollah tunnels are more sophisticated, much more large and capable. So the ground war is going to go in now that they've kind of taken the leadership out and destroyed their ability to launch missiles. They're going to destroy those tunnels. So they're going to try to neutralize Hezbollah. Okay, so think of globally what's happening is the proxy of Hamas in Gaza for Iran is no longer able. The proxy for Iran in the northern part of Hezbollah is not going to be able. So that leaves Iran by itself. Okay, so Iran, and I think, again, I think they just operate without really understanding real warfare, the capability of warfare. But they launched 1,000 missiles against Israel 2 days ago, and they were defended. Well, that leaves now a response from Israel. Okay, what's going to happen? So we're going to use a verse here of what Jesus, what the Lord says, and then we'll try to understand what we can expect next and what we do next. So if you go to Psalm 21, mm-hmm. It's an interesting psalm because it has lots of interesting truth to it, one of which is dealing with this. So Psalm 21, 1 to 13, it's a whole psalm, a beautiful psalm, but we'll talk specifically about one thing here.
Sure. The king shall have joy in your strength, O Lord, and in your salvation how greatly shall he rejoice. You have given him his heart's desire, and have not withheld the request of his lips. For you meet him with the blessings of goodness. You set a crown of pure gold upon his head. He asked life from you, and you gave it to him, length of days forever and ever. His glory is great in your salvation. Honor and majesty you have placed upon him, for you have made him most blessed forever. You have made him exceedingly glad with your presence. For the king trusts in the Lord, and through the mercy of the Most High, he shall not be moved. Your hand will find all your enemies. Your right hand will find those who hate you. You shall make them as a fiery oven in the time of your anger. The Lord shall swallow them up in his wrath, and the fire shall devour them. Their offspring you shall destroy from the earth, and their descendants from among the sons of men. For they intended evil against you. They devised a plot which they are not able to perform. Therefore you will make them turn their back. You will make ready your arrows on your string towards their faces. Be exalted, O Lord, in your own strength. We will sing and praise your power.
Yeah. So, you know, and again, the Psalms, the word, you know, is so beautiful and so, you know, so we can look at, yeah, I'm going to meet you with gladness, set a crown of pure gold. I'm going to give you the desires of your heart. Great is your salvation. Honor and majesty, God's going to give him. You've made him blessed forever. Exceedingly glad with your presence. Part of what I see, and if you haven't heard Rabbi Ephraim and Eric's discussion about this, we started to bring it up and we're going to pursue it further. But we ask them, do they see the spiritual activity of God through this? Mm-hmm. And they said, you know, we're still trying to process that through because we tend to be thinking our own capability. But they made an interesting statement that he said, think of a nation less than 10 million, the size of Delaware.
I think size of New Jersey is what they said, right?
Of New Jersey.
Yeah.
That we are the front page news all over the world every day.
Mm-hmm.
He said,
all
we
eyes are on Israel.
We kind of recognize God's up to something. Mm-hmm. And we're the center of it. And we do appreciate that it has to do with what God is doing. And I think part of it is that they're going to become more exceedingly glad with God's presence. And because remember, in the end times, during the tribulation, they become believers in Christ.
Right. And it's interesting when we go back to, you know, we also had Pastor Stephen Corey from Bethlehem, who does the nativity encounters. He shared, just kind of tracing what God is, what we're seeing in the hearts of people over there. He did share how just like thousands of people, literally Muslims and Christians, are coming to Christ in the midst of all of this, which is fascinating. And then while Rabbi Ephraim didn't see that, he did say that he is seeing a return to orthodoxy, people coming and looking to the scriptures and looking at the prophecies and beginning to wonder. And so a draw back to God. And biblically, we do know they will be drawn back and then they will see clearly at some point. Yeah, so we're seeing movement in all of that, even from different perspectives, hearing Eric and Ephraim and Stephen all having slightly different perspectives on what they're watching. We can see the move of God happening, right?
Yeah, yeah. And in this psalm, it says that talking to God, about God, God will find all the enemies and the right hand will find those who hate you. And hate you is, remember, if they hate Israel or they even hate believers, they're actually hating God because he says, you who receive me, receive you, receives me. And Israel is God's place and we believers are God's. And so, and it says in verse 11, he says, they intended evil against you. They devised a plot which they will not be able to perform. So as I've actually been pondering this, I've had a question, and I think maybe it's going to be answered. Is because I know Israel makes it into the end and is not destroyed. So that's biblical. It's absolute. And I do know at the same time that Iran has been developing nuclear weapons, by the way, funded by the United States, which is interesting. You know, won't go into that, but they actually have funded it. They're getting close to having that capability. Mm-hmm. Capability meaning to launch a nuclear weapon. And because of how a nuclear weapon functions, even if they destroy it before it lands, if they destroy it at moving over Israel, the what's called fallout of the nuclear activity will kill and or cause people to die over time because it's different than just a bomb that has, you know, destruction. It actually has this nuclear stuff that destroys. So I've always had a question. Okay, wait a minute. They're developing a nuclear weapon. I know they're not going to be destroyed, but even if they try to prevent it when it's launched, that's still going to have consequences. Mm-hmm. How does that work?
Right.
Because biblically, they don't have the consequences. So what's going to happen? Well, I believe we may be seeing the answer to that. And here's what I'm going to suggest is that because Iran launched these missiles, Israel will respond. They're taking care of Hezbollah, so they're not going to be effective. They're not going to be a proxy. Hamas is no longer a proxy. So now it's directly with Iran, and Iran stepped into it themselves by launching these missiles. So instead of using proxies, they stepped in and they became the aggressor that now will have a response back from Israel. I believe that they know how to, they have a plan to. I think this verse might be fulfilled in that they intended evil, they devise a plot, but they're not going to be able to perform it. I think Israel is going to take out their nuclear capability and doing something that basically cripples their ability to launch a nuclear missile, nuclear bomb against Israel. And I think this could be the time when they do that. And I don't believe, I don't believe they will do nothing. I think Iran did what they did. I think they're expecting some response from Israel. And then I think they'll say, okay, we did our thing, you did your thing, why don't we just stop? Because I think they recognize if they push it, they could go all the way and try to say,
right,
what we did to Hamas, what we did to Hezbollah, we're going to do to you. Mm-hmm. I think they're going to use it. I don't think they'll eliminate Iran completely like they're doing the other two. But I do think that this could be a moment where they actually, God thwarts their plot and gets rid of the ability of nuclear weapon, because we know they don't ever succeed with that.
They're not able to use that, right?
Right. So maybe this is it.
Do you know in Jewish belief, in terms of what they pay attention to in prophecy, do they recognize that they will not be destroyed?
They do.
Okay.
Because now remember, they're Old Testament, so they aren't reading Revelation.
Right.
But the things we've been reading, you're going to be restored. Mm-hmm. You're going to be protected. You're going to have the strongest army. They do, and what we're going to talk to Eric and Pastor Ephraim about this is that, what exactly do you see as the in your definition of the end? Now, I do believe that they use the word Armageddon. Now, by the way, that's a New Testament discussion.
Right.
So we're going to probe that a little bit. Is that, you know, what do you see there? And mm-hmm. but they believe they're going to last, and they're going to be the one standing at the very end. Now they would say, because Messiah comes, and then I think that's what's going to happen, is they're going to wake up and realize, well, Jesus is the Messiah, and he's returning. He's already been there,
but he's returning.
And he's returning, not coming back, mm-hmm. coming for the first time. I used to, when I was in university, I was part of a fraternity, and we had many Jewish kids in our fraternity, which, you know, I've always appreciated them and were friendly with them. And I would say to them, you know, what do you think of the Messiah? You know, what's your definition of Messiah? And they said, oh, he's coming again. And I said, why would you see him the second time since you missed him the first time? So everybody, maybe by the time this airs, we will have seen something happen or about ready to happen, but something's up. God said what the evil is planning is not going to succeed, and they've been planning nuclear. So is this the moment where he snuffs that out, at least for the moment? So Heavenly Father, we're amazed at watching this live. We see the biblical truth of it. And we pray that we'll have insight and watch and understand what are you up to, which then builds our confidence that as you lay this out, we can see what you're going to do because you speak it already. And so help us to have eyes to see and ears to hear. This is spiritual. What is our role in this? And how do we pray for this? And how do we respond to that? And we thank you now in Christ's name. Amen.
Amen. Well, thank you so much for sharing, Rich. Always so interesting to have these conversations. And I'm just challenging our listeners again to be praying for Israel and to be praying for people to open their eyes and see the truth and the hope of Jesus, that
yep.
this would be a crisis that also draws more people to him.
Amen to that.
So, yeah, absolutely. So if you have questions about today's podcast, send them in to us at questions@abideministries.com. And we look forward to seeing you next time.
Yep. We'll see you then.
Thank you for joining us for today's episode of Come and See, your podcast for truth in a world of chaos. Brought to you by Living Waters Abide Ministries. Send us your questions and comments and tune in tomorrow for more answers to your personal questions about living life in God's truth. Remember, God's will is best and none better. His truth brings peace in this world of chaos.